So this month of Advent, we are looking at different Christmas carols. And this morning, we're going to look at the familiar Christmas carol, sing it after the message, What Child Is This? The lyrics of the carol come from a poem written by William Chatterton Dix called The Manger Throne. In 1865, in London, Dix was working as a manager of an insurance company. And in 1865, Dix was stricken with an unexpected and severe illness. It resulted in him being bedridden and suffering from severe depression. And it's at that point of suffering, illness, and depression that he decided that he would start reading the Bible. And as he read the Bible, he began to feel better. His physical ailments seemed to subside and his depression seemed more bearable. While he was recovering, reading the Bible, he decided that he would write some poems. And in early 1866, it is said that on the day of Epiphany, which is July 6th, he was reading Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, and decided to write the words that we will sing today. It is a simple poem, a simple song. As we sing it later, you will hear. First verse is a simple question. What child is this? And then he seeks to answer that. Second verse is a simple question. Why lies he in such mean estate? Why is he in such a terrible situation? And then he answers that. Third verse is the appropriate response to the answer of these two questions. And we'll get to that as well. But we want to ask ourselves, what child is this? And I have to tell you, I have preached on Matthew chapter 2 a number of times. In fact, I preached on it the day after Christmas or a couple days after Christmas just last year. Most of the time, I focus on the Magi. Who they are, how many there were, where they came from. And while that's important, and if you want to have that discussion, you can come by Wednesday or text me and I'll send you a previous message. But this morning, in reading this passage, I want us to focus on the child. And the first thing we see as we look at this passage, Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, is that this child is the King of the Jews. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem, and verse 2 says, and asked, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. The Magi come to Jerusalem to welcome the new king. They are unequivocal. Unequivocal? They are certain what they are looking for. They are looking for the King. Their knowledge of the heavens have revealed a surprise. They saw His star. Maybe they thought it was a new star. Maybe they thought it was a bright star. Maybe they saw that the planets and stars aligned in brilliance. But whatever they saw motivated them, would have served as a cultural symbol of a royal birth. When the heavens come together, people in those days thought that the gods had blessed the land. And geographically, the star was over Jerusalem. The star had led them to Jerusalem. Makes sense that they are looking in Jerusalem among the people for the King of the Jews that had been born. And just in case we might think that this is just some sort of fringe response, we have to understand that Herod, the current ruler in Jerusalem, acknowledges the validity of their search. When Herod hears that someone is looking for the new king, verse 3 says that he was disturbed and all Jerusalem with him. Strangers are asking about a newborn king. So much so that he hears, or someone in his inner circle hears, and he says, "We didn't have a baby." And Herod's convinced that there is a rival for the throne. And he is disturbed. And when the king is upset, Jerusalem is upset with him. The people were afraid of what Herod would do next, and rightfully so. Ultimately, he is going to order the death of all the boys that are 2 and under. He specifically calculates when the star appeared, and he summarily kills every male child that is 2 and under. Can you imagine? That is the response that Herod had. And it makes me think that I don't emphasize enough in my own thoughts, or maybe in my preaching, or maybe in my understanding of God, that Jesus is a king. He is the king. Those who were living in that day understood what the Magi were looking for. So much so that they were willing to kill untold number of babies. Just horrible. Because this baby is the one who is going to reign on David's throne. He is the king. And if he's the king, then he ought to be the king of our lives as well. And maybe we need to take some time just to think, what is the king want from me? What does the king want for me? What does the king promise? This child is the King of the Jews. Herod, who was raised by a Jewish parent, would have actually known that they were looking for more than a king. That this child is the promised Christ. For as terrible as Herod is, I want you to read in verse 4 what his question is. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. Where the Christ was to be born. Herod calls together the religious leaders for a religious question. Herod immediately thinks about the promised anointed one of God. This is not a question of a political rival, but this is a question of the supreme authority over the people of God. And he asks them, where is the Savior, the Messiah, to be born? And we need to ask that same question. What does the Scripture say about the Messiah? Isaiah 9, 7. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. Jeremiah 33, 15. In those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line, and he will do what is just and right in the land. Herod understood that if the Messiah comes, his days of unrighteousness, his days of menace, his days of dictatorship, despotism, are over. And a new day of justice and righteousness will come. And so the scribes and the religious leaders, the chief priests, tell them, well, Micah 5, verses 2 and 4 tell us exactly where the Christ will be born. The anointed one, the Messiah, the Christ, will be born in Bethlehem. Out of you, even though you are small and insignificant and may think that you are worthless, out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people. Now, Micah 5, 2 through 4 says a lot more than just that. They only answer the question Herod asks. Where is the Christ to be born? In Bethlehem. But we can easily turn to Micah 5, verses 2 through 4, and understand that this one who is coming has origins that are of old. It's the Old Testament way of saying the one who is the Messiah is without beginning. Micah also says his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth. That yes, he is the King of the Jews. Yes, he is the promised Messiah of his people Israel. But he will be the sovereign ruler. And his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth. And so we know from this account and others, this reinforces that Jesus, the historical, actual person of Jesus of Nazareth, is the Christ, the promised Messiah, born in Bethlehem. This baby is the one who fulfills the promise of God in Isaiah. To us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And we need to reflect upon that, that this child is the promised Messiah. This child is the promised Christ. He is the one that has been anointed, appointed, commissioned, sent to deliver his people, to bring righteousness and justice and peace. And so, Herod sends off the Magi and says, "Go and make a careful search, and as soon as you find him, report to me so that I may go and worship him." The third thing we want to recognize when we ask, what child is this? This child is the one worthy of worship. The Magi, in a relatively small period of time, despite the fact that they are not the people of God, despite the fact that they are not in the promised land of God, but are visitors, foreigners, strangers, they have two separate conversations about worshiping the King of the Jews. First, they discuss it amongst the general population in verse 2. "Where is the one born King of the Jews? We have come to worship him." Then they have a conversation with King Herod, and Herod says, "Go find him, and when you find him, come back and report to me so that I too may worship him." And after they visit the palace, they resume their intentional journey. "We have come to worship the king." And they go outside and they see the star. And how Matthew records it is not the way the NIV translates it. The NIV says they saw the star, they were overjoyed. It's nice, not complete. What it really says is, when they saw the stars, they were filled with joy, with an exceedingly great joy. They were overwhelmed. They're like, "Woo! There's the star. We can do what we're here to do." And they follow that star to the place where the child dwelled. And when they get there, they worship. They fell on their knees and worshiped him. They bowed before him. Literally, they fell, collapsed, face in the dirt before him, genuflected, knelt. They adopted a posture of humility. When's the last time you were in the presence of greatness and you just fell down, fell forward, fell on your knees, shrieked with joy? Sometimes I think that's how we should respond every Sunday morning. We get the opportunity to come into the presence of God. And sometimes we treat it lightly. Particularly during this pandemic, maybe we're watching and it's like, yeah, I'm going to pause so that I can cook up a Pop-Tart. Or, nothing wrong with Pop-Tarts. Or we're here. It's like, oh, just about 12 o'clock. When's it going to be done? Here are these number of men who find this star and they begin this journey. And it would seem, based on Herod's response, that by the time Herod finds out that the Magi saw him and have left, that it's 2 years. They gave up 2 years of their life just to find this babe king, who we know, who Herod knows, is the Christ. And when they get there, they fall and worship him. And then, not only did they fall, but they open their treasuries. They open their wealth. They open their possessions. And they give gold, symbol of wealth. They give frankincense, a symbol of prayer. They give myrrh, a symbol of compassionate service. And we can do the same. Maybe we're not wealthy and we can't give gold, but we could give incense. Prayers of the saints are like incense that flows up to heaven, filling the nostrils of God. We can give myrrh, this ointment, this pungent ooze that is used to care for the dead and the dying. We can serve. What are you bringing before the Christ? They fell. They brought. They heeded. They changed their plans. Having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. They changed their plans. They returned through another way. We could change our plans. We could change how we live our lives. We could listen to the dreams, to the words, to the leading of God. We can fall before him. We can bring unto him. We can heed from him. Our sermon in a sentence is this. Maybe the quickest and shortest. The wise know that this child is Christ the King. What child is this? This is Christ the King. Haste, haste to bring him laud. Or in today's language, be quick and do not delay in offering him your public praise. He's worthy of praise as our righteous and just ruler with a shepherd's heart. He's worthy of our praise as the anointed and the appointed one who will deliver us from all evil. What child is this who, laid to rest on Mary's lap, is sleeping? This is Christ the King. And if we're a follower of Christ, we ought to be living as if we know that this baby is Christ the King, and allow Him to control our lives and trust His sacrifice. If you are on the fence about Jesus, think about all the steps that the Magi took. They were intrigued by a star, which led to a search, which brought them before a tyrant, but ended with them bowing before the King. Let the songs and the scriptures of this season draw you to the manger. Let them draw you to this child. So, in closing, let us sing together. What child is this? For the wise know the answer. This child is Christ the King. Shall we pray?